No, I'm loud mouth and voice carries.
God bless you.
It's good to be here again. The only thing I hate about it is every time I'm here, Brother Donnie's sick. Lord have mercy. But that's what God told me to do. Told Bill I preached eight times last month, and this will be the fifth time this month. Plus, we was in a whole week of revivals. We spent the second week from Sunday through Friday. Everybody decided to have their revivals at the same time. I don't know why, but I guess the Holy Spirit was working on all of them. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, probably the one y'all know real good. I'm not going to read but three verses. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by the which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Let's go one more. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for each and every day. Now, Lord, we're looking for your holy unction from on high. Thank you for the wonderful blessing we had this morning. But, Lord, I'm looking for a greater one. Now, bless this little church. Bless the people in it. And, Lord, we pray a special prayer for Brother Don. We pray, dear Lord, that you just lift him up off the bed of affliction, as you did many in the Bible. And, Lord, give him that strength that he needs. I know his heart is in his preaching. I know how it is. And, Lord, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Moreover, look who he's talking to. He's talking to the brethren. He says, "I declare unto you." You cannot be a brethren unless you've been born again. You got to be born of the water and the word. And you got to know that Jesus Christ is your Redeemer, your Savior. But he says, "Brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel." The Bible tells us that the gospel is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And it tells us that it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power," it's the dynamis of God, "that breaks up an old heart that's been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." It's the dynamis that goes in there and it blows it apart and lets the light of the glorious gospel shine in. The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone. First of all, you got to believe. You got to have that faith that there's nothing else on this earth that can save you. That means a turned around collar. That means you can confess every sin that you've ever done and still die and go to hell. What do? We get saved when we confess that we are a sinner and we come to Christ and ask him to wash away all our sins and to make us a child of the King. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes it. Simple childlike faith is all through the Bible. Everybody that gets healed, leper, eyesight, no matter what else, thy faith have made thee whole. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can know that we're saved because we don't walk like we used to. We don't talk like we used to. Praise God, we don't look the way we used to. There's a brand new look to everyone that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. But he came to the Jew first. That was the children of God. Then we were grafted into the wild as a wild limb into it. You know, back when you go to Jerusalem, the olive trees, after a while, they get old. And the only way that you can get those olive trees to produce again is to go to Jerusalem and get a wild olive branch, put it into or graft it into that old trunk, and it'll start producing olives again. When the Jews would not receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he went unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, gave he them the power to become the sons of God. We've been grafted into that old olive tree. But he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. When we got saved, he was delivered for our offenses. But he was raised again for our justification. We can go to the cross. And the cross was a wonderful thing because that's why he bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. But then, is that the end? No, the stone had to be rolled back to show that Christ had justified every one of us in that he rose from the dead. He says, I preached unto you. We can have many ways of trying to get saved, but God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. First Corinthians 1:18. Preaching, the foolishness of preaching. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. He put a man up here in the pulpit and a spitting and a sputtering and a shouting and doing whatever else they have to do to show people their sins. Be a watchman for the house of God. And he says, I preached unto you. Now, preaching is fine, but there is something that is required after the preaching. That is, you must receive it. Talking about it this morning, Christmas time, you get gifts. They give them to you, but it's not yours until you receive it. You've got to reach out and receive it. It's the same way with the gospel. If you do not take the gospel and receive it, it won't be any good to you. But you must have a heartfelt salvation. Not a head knowledge, but a heartfelt salvation. I preached unto you, which ye also have received. That is the receiving part of it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved. All you got to do is receive it. And then, my friends, what happens? We start standing. If we look in Psalm 1, there's a man that had gone downhill. It says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh. You know, sin is something that is sneaky. It first gets you to walk a little ways in it. He says, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You see, standing, you can stand where sin is and get caught up in it. Then he says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. When the Lord sent the angels down in Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot out, he done got comfortable down there. He was sitting in the seat of the scornful. He was sitting in the gate where they did commerce, where they did trade. He was sitting there so comfortable that he had lost a lot of his family. His sons-in-law, he could not get out. Why? Because they had been so entrenched in that city that it had hardened their hearts. They could not be touched. And that's the way sin is. If you stand in it, if you sit in it, it will harden your heart. The Bible says in the last days, man's heart shall deceive worse and worse. Wax worse and worse. And we're seeing it around us. Look at the church, it ought to be full. Look around us. I was telling Brother Bill, you go out here and you step out of your door, you don't know whether you're going to make it to the next place or not. Some people will just actually shoot you just for the fun of it. Don't have to receive anything, but they just shoot you. They love to play God. But it says, by which also you are saved. Do you remember how you got saved? Do you remember where you came from? Do you know where you're headed? The Bible says that we need to keep it in memory. Paul told Timothy, Timothy, stir up your remembrance. And we need sometimes just to remember where we came from and where we're headed for. We ain't lost nothing down there. We're looking at things above and not things below. Our home is not down here. It's up there. We had to come down here on a sojourn for a while in this desert land. But praise God, one of these days he's going to take us home to glory. Going to give us a mansion. And a city with 12 foundations, gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and a golden street down the middle. Like I said this morning, there will not be a funeral home there. There will not be any power companies there. Why? Because the Son of God is the light and power of that city. We're going to be dressed in white righteousness and shine like the stars in heaven. Isn't that going to be a lot better than what we have down here? This old flesh, it turns old. Hearing gets bad. Eyes get bad. Teeth fall out. We in pitiful shape, ain't we? I told my wife, I said, I figured it out. Old age is a curse. You just keep getting older and older. And it's a slow death. Everything starts failing. Don't care what it is. One time or the other, something's going to fail. Every time you turn around, something's failed. And everything just seems to flub. You know what I mean? Everything just starts drooping. We get this old big belly, don't we, Bill?
Yeah, I've got my share of everybody
else. Ladies, your beauty starts to fail. Isn't it something else? But keep in memory, there is a God who gave his life on Calvary's tree for you. He has made a home in glory for you, and you're going to look really young when you get up there. Some like to say 33 and a half. 33 sounds all right to me. Man, I was out of my prime in 33. I once could bounce up and down my steps going into the basement to wash clothes for my wife. I have to do all the washing because she can't go down the steps. But my friend, let me tell you something. Now I go down them backwards one step at a time. There ain't no bounce in that step. But my friend, he says, keep in memory, keep it in memory. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that was delivered unto us? We can't neglect it. So many people, you see the great falling away that was predicted in the churches. You see the great falling away in believing the Lord. See many signs along the pathway now. I don't see them around here, but you see them on television and billboards. Says we don't need God. We don't need God. I got news for you. We did need him, we still need him, and we're going to need him in the future. You may not believe in it, but let me wait till you, just wait till you get down to your last few breaths. You'll believe God. As they're jerking your soul into hell. When I was young, my neighbor next door, I could remember him. He felt like a lot of people do now. He didn't want to receive Jesus Christ. Didn't want to have nothing to do with him. He laid on his bed and he cried and he screamed and he hollered, "My feet's on fire. Somebody pull them out." And I got my feelings, my friend. I can't say it and I'm not going to judge it. But I think that man went into hell. Keep it in memory, what was preached to you. The average church member, if you preach a sermon to them, go home, come back the next Sunday, I bet you they cannot tell you what you preached on last Sunday. The Bible says, keep in memory what I have preached unto you. How many of you can tell me what he preached on this morning? Don't raise your hand, that's all right. Does that tell you anything? But the Bible says, if you don't keep in memory what is preached unto you, then your belief, your Christianity is within a vein, is what I believed in vain. Without effect, a temporary faith makes no appreciable difference in one's life because the gospel fails to take effect. It's got to show something in a person's life. We cannot just sit still. Are we content just to sit on the pew? Are we going to be putting feet on our prayers? You say, well, I'm old, I can't do but so much. Yes, you can. You can do a whole lot. The church always needs prayer warriors. Get into your closet and pray for this church. Get on your knees and pray and pray and pray. There's a thing called the telephone. Get on the telephone and invite somebody to come to the church. You say, well, I have 12 times. Well, make it 13. You can't never tell when that one time is going to be what it takes. We got to, what did James say? Faith without works is dead. We got to have the faith, but we got to put it in action. How much do we believe that faith? Oh, what brought us to this state? For I delivered unto you. Paul says, I gave you what you needed. I gave you what would activate you, what would cause the zeal in you. What happened in Revelation, that chapter 2, the first church of Ephesus? You left your first love. When we get into church, we get into a routine. We want to sit on the pew. We want to hear the sermons and go home and say, boy, it was good to be in church this morning. But church doesn't start at the church. It starts when we come on the outside and into a lost and dying world. You are a light that shineth in a dark world. And he says, I delivered you first of all. He says, I received it just like you did. I gave to you what I received. The Bible says, as faithful stewards of the faith, we are supposed to pass on what others have given us. Pass it on. You can have the gospel. People around you dying all over the place. You've got the remedy, gospel. Give them the pill. Don't hold it in. I've seen some preachers, they know this or they know that. They had a revelation here and a revelation there, but they want to keep it all in here. That's selfishness. I always told my church over at Ashland Road for 35 years and 9 months, I said, listen, whatever God gives me, I'm going to give you. And I withheld nothing. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel. Paul wasn't selfish. When we keep what we know to ourselves, we're being selfish. We need to turn it loose. Give it to someone else. We need to be forthright with everything we have as good stewards of the faith. Christ died for our sins. Oh, what's the example? The example is Christ. Would you be willing to die for your sins right now? If someone came in, say an ISIS member, said, I'm going to cut your head off if you don't deny Christ, what would you do? This world is not your home. We're only traveling through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. He would have to cut my head off. Because I'm not going to deny the one that went up Calvary's rugged brow, laid himself down on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do, and then died for my sins. We got to be the same way, willing to die for our sin. We're going to be persecuted. In fact, they're being persecuted all over the world now. They killed a bunch of Christians the other day. And their sales here in America. And one of these days, they're going to turn them loose. And we're going to be in rough shape. But what I'm saying is, Christ died for what? Our sins, not his sins. Pilate says, I find no fault. Herod said, I find no fault. The thief on the cross, no fault. We rightly deserve ours, but he deserves not to die. centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. He died for our sins. He took our sin and bore them upon his own body upon a tree. It was a curse to be hung on a Roman tree or a Roman cross. He took our curse. Just as the woman that had the issue of blood, he took her infirmity and gave her back his virtue. He took our sin, born to the cross, and gave us his righteousness. Righteousness is a wonderful thing because it delivers from death. Abraham received righteousness according to Romans chapter 4. How? Through faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. You must believe that he is. And that he'll reward all those who will follow him. Righteousness is something that we have to have. In fact, we're going to be clothed in righteousness. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He had to go to the cross and die, or he would not have fulfilled Psalm 22. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 50. All these scriptures would not have been fulfilled if he said, Lord, I'm not going to take this cup. I'm not going to bear all the sins of the world upon my body. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, what a loving Savior we have. Amen. The Redeemer, our Lord. He says, I am the Lord. And there is none else. Oh, but they looked at him hanging on that cross. They saw the blood flowing down where the spear of the Roman soldier had pierced into his side. They saw him dead upon that cross after 6 hours. And guess what? They said, we won the victory. We showed that the Roman Empire is stronger than this heretic Jesus Christ. Ah, just to be safe though, we'll put a company of soldiers there at that tomb. Because this heretic said, destroy this body in this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it again. They thought he was talking about the holy temple there in Jerusalem, but he was talking about his body. He is saying he's going to come out after 3 days. So they put the guards there. They put a seal across it. Took about 6 or 7 men to roll that 2,000-pound stone into place. God sent one angel. He came down and rolled the stone back. One angel. Whom seek ye among the dead? He is risen. He didn't roll it back to let him out. He rolled it back for everybody to see that he wasn't there. He had to fulfill the scriptures. He was born not to destroy the law, but that the law might be fulfilled through him. He was buried. Oh, we got him now. Those soldiers could not hold him in. The stone tomb could not hold him in. The walls, when they met in the upper room, could not keep him out. And my friends, he's living in the hearts of every child of God that will believe and have faith in him today. This world could not contain him, but yet he lives right in your heart. He loves you that much. He was buried, but justification came into being when he rose from the dead. He could have paid for every one of our sins, but if he was still in the tomb, there would be no assurance. The thrice righteous demands of a holy God said that he must come out. And he walked out, showed himself to Mary Magdalene and many others, 500 brethren. You know the very first person who seen him? Peter. No, Mary Magdalene. Then Peter. He was seen of the 12. But just think about it. Here was a person he had saved from being stoned to death and said, go and sin no more. Here was one that had denied him 3 times, but he came back to those people because they repented within their heart. He was seen of 500 brethren. Said, the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and the least of all, he was seen of me. Now, when they replaced that apostle that sold him for 30 pieces of silver, I still believe he was replaced by Paul. Or they replaced another one by drawing straws, as you might say, casting lots. But I still believe we'll see Paul's name. He was the least of the apostles, born out of due time. He would persecute the church, but by the grace of God. The grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You didn't have enough grace to save yourself. He had to give it to you. It was his gift to you. God gives us grace to go through this world we have to go through every day. He gives us grace upon grace. It's like the waves in an ocean. Grace. Grace, grace. All we got to do is receive it. He gives us grace to live each day. He gives us grace when the time of our departure from this world. I am what I am by the grace of God. His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, what an epitaph. I labored more than all of them. Can we say that? Can we, like Paul, I fought a good fight, I've run the race, I finished my course. And I've laid up for me a crown of life, which the righteous judge shall give me in the last day. Are you trying to get a crown of life? 7 crowns, that's one of them. How about it? Wouldn't you just love to have that crown to lay at the Savior's feet when he's crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I don't want a crown to wear. He wore my crown. Right here on his thigh, you see it, a crown of thorns. That's what he got to wear. They put it up on his head. They mocked him. They took a stick and they hit him on that crown, and it drove those thorns deep into his head. And yet we want a crown to boast of? No, not me. I want a crown to lay at his feet and thank him for what he's done for me. The whip as they lashed his back, the thorns that was in his head, and the mockery and the spitting upon and slapping, plucking his beard out. All that he did for you and me. And I just want to thank him for being so gracious and so merciful. According to his mercy, he saved us. But it says here, I want to be one that when God put his grace upon me, he did not do it in vain. I want to labor. You know, she don't labor until after the grace. The grace saves us, but then we have a desire to serve him in whatever capacity we can. My little grandson, well, not little grandson, he's grown now, but my grown grandson, when he got saved, what he wanted to do, he started him a website. And he put scripture on it and changed it ever so often. He wanted to do something for the Lord. My friends, that's what we got to have, a desire to do something for the Lord, to labor in his fields. He told the apostles, the fields are white in the harvest, but we need more laborers in the field. That's you. God uses human instruments to get out into a lost and dying world and tell them that they're headed for hell. What they need to do is believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, we down here, we get insurance policy to protect us in case something happens. Christ doesn't give you insurance. He gives you assurance. Acts 17. He has given us assurance in that he has raised Christ from the dead. We got a living Savior. We got something no other religion can claim. Mohammed's still in the ground. Buddha's still in the ground. All of these so-called established preachers, established saviors, cannot claim that their Savior is alive. But we can. The tomb is empty. Y'all excuse me. Allergies is getting to me. How say some among you that there'll be no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? My friends, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. Our belief is in vain. Our faith is in vain. We're found to be false witnesses of God, because we've testified that God raised up Christ from the dead. If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. In other words, every one of your loved ones that's gone to the graveyard, you'll never see them again. But praise God, we got that blessed hope. That blessed hope gives us assurance that one of these days we're going to meet all our loved ones on the other side. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. My friends, we got assurance. But Christ is risen from the dead. and come the first fruits of them that slept. Thank God. We don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to lie. We don't have to be someone that says something that is not true. Our Christ is alive. That tomb is empty. And now we're living in faith. Living by faith in Jesus alone. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Can't sing? My mom said I couldn't carry a tune in a paper sack. But I got news for you. When God just thumbs the strings of my heart, it has to come out. And the Lord said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't have to sing like a songbird. I can just make a joyful noise. And that's what I do. Praise God. Folks, it's been good to be here. This is the second place I've been today where the Spirit is so wonderful. It is so great. You got a good spirit in this church. Keep it up. Keep praying. Keep pumping out those telephone calls and various other things. Fill it up. You say, well, it ain't no you. Oh, come on. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Nothing. I just told you. I'm a man out here just wandering from church to church. Preached in eight in March. Five this month. God works upon people's hearts to call me and ask me to preach for them. I help other preachers. That is my calling. And I help churches heal themselves. I helped Riverview heal that church. They were not working together. They were divided. And they've told me this. This is not something in my imagination. Now they're working together. Now they've doubled with our new pastor. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Can God lay a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Keep believing, ladies. Keep believing. You may not believe this, but when I took over Ashland Road Baptist Church, you won't know but women and one man. You got one man right there. You know what God's looking for? One man to stand in the gap. Folks, get to praying. There is power in prayer. Amen. Now I'll shut up now. Who's got some good supper? I'm going home with you. But anyway.
We'll find some.
We'll find some. I'll probably go home with a bologna sandwich or. Come on, brother, and I'll leave it up to you.
You don't have to accept that. You're welcome. I won't take one of these steps home. One step will end the bread.